Hi there. Welcome back to the I'm Still Here Messages from the Other Side podcast with Tammy Lawrence Sibilisti. Many of us have lost loved ones, and it brings a significant change in our lives. Our loved ones, however, would want us to continue to live on, being that we are still here. It's important for us to take care of our mental health as we move forward. So our intention is to continue to discuss grief, but widening our focus so that we might discuss other ways to help us live our lives. My hope is you continue this journey along with us as we shift to explore our new world with our loved ones hidden by our sides. Hi there. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'd like to talk to you about controlling the mind. Well, actually, not necessarily mind control, but natural laws of the mind that help to create change in your life. I remember many years ago driving to Port Dover, I think it was, or somewhere down there anyways. I was with my mom and two of my nephews, and well, my only nephews. And as we were driving, I can't even remember the specific conversation, but the younger one, I think he was about six at the time, turned to me and said, "You know what?" And he was very serious. "The only thing I wish I could do is control my mind." And I just thought that was so funny, because here this kid is, 6 years old, trying to figure out a way of how he could control his thoughts. And I'm thinking, this is a lifelong journey that all of us are trying to do. We're all trying to figure out, how can we shift and change our thoughts, especially when we're not feeling up to par, we're not feeling 100%. So I recently created a book called Hypnodoodle. And within this book, I talk about some of the laws of the mind. Now, this comes basically from hypnosis background. I am a certified hypnotist, and these are some of the things that we learned in our training. Now, there are other laws of the mind as well, but this is just seven of the laws of the mind that are included in my book. So let's go through them. Number one, every thought causes a physical reaction. Think about that for a second. A thought that causes a physical reaction. Think about necessarily your favorite food. When you think of your favorite food, if you really think about your favorite food, what happens? Probably you want to eat that favorite food. Obviously, it's one thing that does happen. But sometimes what happens is saliva starts to generate in the mouth and the food isn't even present. So how can the saliva come in the mouth when we don't even have the food nearby? Think about eating a lemon. And if you really thought about, you know, a lemon on a board and cutting the lemon and then taking a piece of that lemon up to your mouth and biting into the lemon, again, your mouth would probably start to salivate. So the mind, what happens is it will accept anything that you tell it. So that physical reaction, right? Think about a sexual thought. What happens? Obviously, we get a physical reaction. If we're startled, there's a physical reaction from the body. So every thought that we have causes a physical reaction. Secondly, what we think about is what we attract. So you might have remembered back to Rhonda Byrne's work in The Secret, where a bunch of motivational speakers got together and talked about the law of attraction. So this one's pretty well known. Essentially, what you think about is what you attract. So maybe, I don't know, say you want to buy a yellow car and you didn't see yellow cars anywhere, but all of a sudden you decide, I'm going to buy a yellow car. And all of a sudden, everywhere you look, there's yellow cars, and you didn't realize that there was so many yellow cars everywhere. So this is another part of the mind. What you think about the most, what you're wanting, the more you're going to attract it. Law number three, practice makes perfect. Over time, our thoughts and emotions create our belief system. So the more repetition, the easier it becomes. So practice makes perfect. So think about if I wanted to, and create a pathway through a jungle or something. And if I was to go through that pathway and just walk through it the first time, then nothing's really going to happen. I might trample down some of the plants, the flora, the fauna, but there won't be much else happening there. But if I go in there with a hacksaw and, or a whatever, a machete, let's say, and I tear down all of the plants, and then I keep going through that path again and again and again and again, eventually it's going to make a definite clear path that's going to stay there, so that each time I go through it, it's going to be more clear and more clear and more clear. So practice makes perfect. Number four, an attitude of gratitude brings change. The more we focus on what we're grateful for, the better we feel. And again, this has been taught for years and years, and some of us practice, some of us don't, but it's a really great thing to get into by saying what we're grateful for today. So maybe you're grateful for, I don't know, the sun coming out. We have not seen the sun in Ontario forever, it seems. I'm recording this on January the 13th. There has not been sun, I think, maybe one day all year so far. So yeah, I'm really grateful to see the sun. Hopefully it'll be here soon. Also, on days when you're not feeling the greatest, gratitude can boost your energy and just make you feel a little bit better. So we might think about how grateful we are for, I don't know, for me, it would be, say, my cats. I'm really grateful for my cats. They're just loving and unconditional little creatures that, well, conditional on them, as long as I feed them and bring them their food when they want it. But having the gratitude for my cats just makes me feel better. So when we feel grateful for things, it brings more of things to feel grateful for. So you could write a gratitude journal and have something that you write out every morning. I know people that do that practice every single day. They write down things that they're grateful for. I remember my mom one day called me when she was alive and she said, "You know what I'm grateful for today? Doorknobs." I just thought she was the craziest thing on the planet that day. Like, what are you talking about? "Well, think about it," she said. "If you don't have doorknobs, you don't really get very far, do you?" I thought that is a really good thing to be grateful for, doorknobs. So hey, today we're grateful for doorknobs. So again, it's something you might consider adding into your life, just doing, even thinking in the morning of things that you're grateful for. Maybe when you get up out of bed and your feet first hit the floor, the first thing you could say is, "Thank you. Our lives are so precious." So just taking that moment in time to sit down and say, "Thank you for waking up today," is we're not guaranteed that, as you very well know if you've been watching or listening, sorry, to this podcast for some time. Law of the mind, number five, mindful multitasking. You've heard people say this all the time, right? What are you doing? "Oh, I'm multitasking." But technically, in reality, we cannot multitask, especially in the mind. We can only hold one thought at a time. So mindfulness of what we're thinking about can create change. And if you choose to change the way you think, you can awaken into a new life. So we have thoughts, we are not our thoughts, and we're only doing one thing at a time well. Yeah, sure, we can do 15 things at a time, but we're only doing one of those things well. So just keeping that in mind, that to be mindful, multitasking is choosing some thoughts that support our experience rather than going against it. And if we choose thoughts that feel really great, it's like the law of substitution, it's also known as. So we can substitute a lesser feeling thought for a better feeling thought. Number six, imagination is the gateway to success. When we see, sense, feel, or imagine what we have and what we want, rather, it becomes easier for the mind to help to support the success. Now, we think in images. This is the way that the mind thinks. I know a lot of people say, "Oh, I can't visualize anything." But really, that goes against our knowing, because our mind does think in an image. So the subconscious mind, it's way more powerful than the critical thinking part of the mind. So when we think about what it is we want, when we imagine, we cultivate this power really within that can help us to create change. I remember being a child and being in class, and I daydream all the time in classes, and I got in so much trouble for that. And teachers would say, "She's always daydreaming in class. She's not paying attention to what she's doing." But that key of imagination should not have been, you know, played out of me. It should have been something that was supported and nurtured, because imagination is really the key to success. Kids do it all the time. Oftentimes adults kind of get away from doing that. But if as an adult, you could sit back and just dream a little dream, what is it that you would like to create in your life? How would you like your life really to be? And if you could focus on that and use that creative muscle, this imagination muscle that you have, maybe you could create a change for yourself that you didn't even know existed. Maybe. Number seven, What you think about is what you get. Our thoughts create reality, and the childlike subconscious mind can't tell the difference between reality or fiction. So why not allow yourself to believe that you can have it all, or you can have what you want, right? So if we constantly are focusing on what it is that we want or what it is that we'd like to be working towards, we're more apt to get there versus thinking about all of the things that could go wrong. Mindy Auden does some great work with this type of idea. She calls it what if up. So instead of saying, oh, well, what if, and then the most worst thing on the planet could happen, what if the best thing on the planet could happen to you? I mean, we don't have all the answers to all of the universe and how it could solve all of our problems in our world and how we could bring our biggest desires, our biggest dreams towards us. But if we were to get a little bit more positive on days when we really need to, and just focus on what it is that you want in your life, and maybe you can work towards getting it in that fashion. It is a law of the mind after all. And the last law of the mind we'll talk about today is the law of relaxation. When the mind is relaxed, the body is relaxed. When there's stressors or cortisol levels increase, and it creates negative health patterns. Anytime that we're in a state of tension or stressors, it really is wreaks havoc on the body. So what we want to do is teach ourselves relaxation. And you can do that through yoga techniques, through breathing. In this instance, I'm talking about maybe you would doodle and find a way to relax in that fashion. Coloring, there's another great way. But relaxation is the key to successful creation. So there's the health benefits of slowing down the breathing pattern, the heart rate, and just letting the whole system just start to kind of relax. But again, when we're relaxed, the body helps to heal itself. So really important, this concept of the law of relaxation, to work towards relaxing body, mind, and I won't say spirit, because spirit's on average usually relaxed, for the most part anyhow. And that connection to the other side, it's definitely got our backs in so many different ways. But mentally, we need to figure out how to relax and just work towards letting go or being with our experience. So that was by no means an exhaustive list. There are other laws of the mind, but the wish is just to start to create the life that you're wanting to live, and to consider an invitation to explore your world without judging it, and to be able to be guided to where it is that you'd like to be, instead of focusing on what's going on that's wrong. Because, I mean, we live in a planet where there's a lot of things that are wrong right now. So maybe we could focus a little bit more on our own personal experience and on working towards what it is that we'd like to create. The links for HypnoDoodle are down lower in the show notes, and you can just click over and find it. So this book has coloring pages for you. There are a bunch of different journal prompts that you can use. There are self-care dates and tracking methods. There are places for you to do exactly what we were just talking about, creating the life that you'd like to live. How would you like to create it? It also includes a bunch of my little drawings and doodles that are on Instagram that you might have seen. If not, again, just click into the show notes and you'll find them. Here's one page as an example. It's on page 173. I drew a picture of a stovetop with a pot with some boiling water on it. And the affirmation that's attached to the doodle is, "This recipe is simple. Love yourself first." And the journal prompt that is below it is, "Being more kind and compassionate to me, I now promise." And then a little block of paper area where you could write in whatever it is that your answer could be to that. How could you be more kind and compassionate to yourself? I hope you have a look at the book. And if not, I'm glad that you listened to the podcast. And maybe you can use those laws of the mind again. It's a lot of information in a short amount of time, so you may have to re-listen and maybe take some notes or something. I don't know. Or not. You be you, right? Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great day. Thank you for listening. We're grateful to our guests for sharing their experience and their knowledge with us. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with others who might find it helpful. Be sure to follow our links on social media, which were offered in the show notes. A special shout out to Kevin McLeod and Incomputech for our background music entitled Happy Dreams. Wishing you a fabulous day.